This is the South Florida Tech Podcast, a weekly show where we bring you the awesome, innovative people building our South Florida tech community. Each week, we'll introduce to you one of the Sunshine State's top business, startup, or tech leaders. Learn about who they are, what they do, and have some fun conversation along the way.
I'm your host, Joe Russo, the president and CEO of Palm Beach Tech. And I need to first start out by giving a huge shout out to our sponsors, Emerge Americas. Each year, global enterprises, disruptive technology, and elite startups are highlighted at Emerge's premier tech event, Connecting the Americas, held right in Miami Beach. To date, the organization has included companies and people from over 40 countries and featured over 250 speakers from around the world. Emerge is a huge part of building South Florida's tech hub and connecting entrepreneurs, investors, executives, and decision makers. So huge shout out to them, and thank you very much to the team over there for their support. I'm really excited to be joined today by, frankly, one of the more accomplished and one of the most forefronted leaders in our tech industry here in South Florida, especially on the startup and in the investor world. Mr. Reese Williams. He's a fifth generation South Floridian who received his undergrad from Harvard, where he graduated magna cum laude. He also had a law degree, an MBA from the University of Florida, where he's also class president. And if that were enough, he also served in our armed forces as a U.S. Army commander of Special Forces Combat Diver Detachment. Basically, he was a Green Beret. And that's if that weren't enough, he has two decades of experience in early stage life sciences startups. He co-founded three biotech startups from three separate institutions of higher learning in Florida. He also co-founded New World Angels in 2003. And that today is still operating. Sarah Lucas from their New World is their COO and is on our board of directors today. Reese is currently the managing director of FAU Tech Runway, a South Florida hub that serves to accelerate technology development and incubate startup companies. He's also the managing director of the FAU Angel Investor Network and serves as an associate vice president with FAU's Division of Research. In addition to, of course, serving our tech industry, he also is very active with the Harvard Alumni Association, is president of the Harvard Club of the Palm Beaches, and has been recognized as one of the 50 power leaders in technology in South Florida by the South Florida Business Journal. A resume like no other. Reese, thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast.
Thank you, Joe. This is indeed a pleasure, and it's wonderful to have a robust partnership with Palm Beach Tech and increasingly with 1909 as well. We have a number of companies that have been through your programs or have applied and have recently been accepted to our program. And we were just excited. You just go back just a few years ago, there was none of that. The ecosystem was sparsely populated, but we're getting increasingly well-populated and variegated, and it all is a virtuous cycle, and it's exciting. It's an exciting time to support entrepreneurs, an exciting time to be a tech investor, and a really awesome time to be an entrepreneur, notwithstanding the public health challenge that we're all going through right now. But I think the outlook continues to look very bright. So thank you for this opportunity.
Of course. And I was just joking with Reese before the podcast started, actually, that, you know, his resume is, it's a wall of bricks. It keeps on getting higher, and it's as strong as can be because of all of the good work that he's put in over the years. But Reese, I would love to just start by asking you who you are and what you do in a most general sense. And, would love to just kind of hear your self-introduction and elevator speech.
Oh boy, an elevator speech. So I critique entrepreneurs all day long, but now I have to give one. Oh boy. All right, Joe. Fine. So my primary role is that of I'm the managing director at FAU Tech Runway, and this is Florida Atlantic University's one of its primary entrepreneurial hubs. We have a number of very robust centers across the campus, but this is one primarily for tech incubation and acceleration. We serve undergraduate students, we serve faculty entrepreneurs, and also some of the best, the better ideas and kind of the more exciting business plans and concepts from the community without any regard to whether or not they have a tie to tech, to FAU. Our hallmark program is a year-long class we call the Venture Class. It's a program that includes free working space, mentoring, instruction. We teach I-Corps, one of three universities that are officially designated as I-Corps sites across the state. We give them help with the intern support on both business planning and also on graphic design for their logos and secondary marketing collateral and trademarks. Events are a key thing. We don't do a lot of events. We're fortunate to have partners like Palm Beach Tech that organize those and Emerge Americas, et cetera. So we really have three primary ones each year. We kind of try to focus just on doing a few things very well. We have our launch competition, of course, we just finished. We have the Mavericks reception where we try to fet and celebrate the accomplished companies and entrepreneurs in our midst. And then our third one is Meet the Angels, an event that we partnered with and then eventually took over co-production with, which tries to shed light on that mysterious activity, angel investing, and really help be a resource to entrepreneurs that seek angel capital. So that's kind of that's a primary role. And then also very active in tech investing. I'm a member now of three angel investor groups. I just recently joined the Harvard Business School Angels of South Florida. And it's just really rewarding to see how very smart minds with a little bit of money to put behind their due diligence efforts, you know, how they go at things just slightly differently and where the points of commonality are as well. But I think, again, that the, you know, for 17, I've been with New World Angels for 17 years. And for the longest time, we were really the only game, at least in South Florida, one of the few organized groups. And that's not the case anymore. And I think that's a good thing. And I just see a lot of overlap, a lot of collaborative work, a little bit of competition. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. That keeps everybody sharp. I think there are more options now than ever for entrepreneurs that are willing to kind of do a lot of homework and grunt work and figure out what it takes and that aren't just doing it on a kind of part-time basis, but are really engaged in the process of what it takes to raise money from angel capital, from angels. And just a quick footnote, and then I'll take a pause. One of the biggest things I've had the pleasure of learning for the past 4 years is that it's angel finance is not the only way to grow your business, finance your business. Canopia, having come from the venture capital industry and doing biotech and thinking, you know, that was the only way we could grow. Having a kind of a front row seat to so many very talented and resourceful entrepreneurs and seeing how they raise money, whether it's through competitions and prizes or through bootstrapping or through grants and all types of grants, not just the SBIR and the federal grants, but also grants from private foundations. And then some get in very, you know, do some very creative things and royalty finance. There's just so much out there. And so that's the other, I guess, quick piece of advice. If you tried for, say, 2 years to get a grant or raise angel capital and you haven't succeeded, there are other options. And so, explore those, have kind of the courage to look beyond and just don't assume that you've learned everything there is to learn about raising capital because it's there's a lot out there to learn. I know there was for me.
Yeah. And I you gave a pretty good highlight of some of the things that the Tech Runway does best. I mean, if for those who haven't been or don't know, I mean, they have a great facility actually right next door to an active runway, the Boca Raton Airport. So you do get that little ambiance of jet noises coming through in addition to, of course, everything there. But, you know, seeing that place packed full of folks for an event like Meet the Angels or for, Mavericks and just hearing some of the stories there is really powerful. And, something that I think, I think 5 years ago, really, you know, if we look 5 years ago, we just didn't have some of that, not only in, you know, Palm Beach, but just all of South Florida. And, seeing the work that you've been able to put in, I think we've all been able to, you know, put in our little pieces of the pie here and there. It's been really neat to see. I'm not retrospective on it as much as I think I should be. I don't know if you are, where you just kind of look back over the years and see, hey, we've made some accomplishments, but do you try and do that every so often? Or just say, hey, we had a big win here, but you know, look at where we came from?
Yeah, you know, it's a funny way to look at it, but every year, you know, I do Protestant guilt really well. I've got a PhD in Protestant guilt. And so every year I'm haunted by what we're not doing for the entrepreneurs and how we kind of, you know, we're doing a little bit of instruction here or we're going at mentoring this way, but I'm not, you know, I feel we're not fooling anybody. There's so much we could do or do better, or there's feedback we've received and, oh my gosh, we just haven't had the time or focus to bring it in. So, you know, I can kind of look back retrospectively on what was keeping me up at night a year ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And where was I kind of like, not embarrassed, but just like disappointed that we couldn't do more. And when I look now, like, oh, that's, you know, the thing that really, I kind of like really bothered me that, God, I wish we could do this. So we can include this block of instruction or get access for entrepreneurs to this event for low cost. And, you know, one by one, team effort through a lot of patience and through some mistakes as well, and hopefully learning from them. In most cases we've tried, you know, little by little, those boxes get checked. And so, you know, now the flip side, Joe, is you know, cause I think you're one of the particularly accomplished at this, the ball is always moving and the bar is always being raised and everyone's getting better. And that it's easy now to source great content and great programs, or easier anyway. And so staying ahead of that is not easy.
Yeah. I mean, what I find, you know, most difficult with, and any nonprofit is like this. I know you're part of a university, not a specific nonprofit, but you know, any of these efforts that aren't necessarily businesses, you know, can get caught in a, well, we're not innovating enough type of spectrum. And, you know, if we don't do that, you know, we're not being good stewards of our community as much as somebody else could be. So we're constantly trying to ingest new ideas and new thoughts. And we do a lot of thought sharing, but what I have the tough time realizing sometimes is taking time to just talk one-on-one with entrepreneurs. And that's the most rewarding part. You know, Shana from 1909, who's the executive director there now, I recall several conversations where we, you know, that was what brought us the most joy of just trying to help people, you know, on a one-on-one basis. But I throw that question to you, actually, you know, is what's your favorite part of working with a startup or working with a founder that really kind of keeps you going and doing what you do?
Yeah, just this morning, you know, doing intake interviews, we call them the deep dives, after we just recently announced the 20 companies that are will be coming into Venture 8. And actually, we're going to bring in another five that were faculty announced that really they can't compete kind of head-to-head with the people that applied through the normal process. But, you know, they're going to come in and do a slightly modified program. Seeing clearly in a way that they can't see that a particular grant opportunity or a particular partner on product development or a particular mentor that you just know they're going to connect with, and it's going to make such a big difference in their product development and their journey and maturation as entrepreneurial managers. And that they'll have a, you know, you can save them literally years in raising capital and having a really good solid shot on goal, because you're going to be able to get them to the prep program will then get them to the grant opportunity. That's exciting. And that, you know, that does take a while. There's a lot of building blocks and a lot of learning that has just come recently. But this morning, you know, met with I know exactly which faculty researcher to connect this one team to. I know which, not just me, you know, our program could connect them with the I-Corps and the National I-Corps, which is going to give them a 75% better chance of getting funded for an SBIR grant. And, you know, one of their misgivings was they don't know how to raise angel capital. They've never had any success. And, you know, having reviewed the material, it's because they just don't yet know how to assemble a pitch deck the way the angels want to hear the story told. And those are ways we can help them, you know, check, check, check. And that's really exciting, knowing that you can help, you can provide those resources, and that if they have the time and focus and energy and are coachable, they're going to flourish. And that's really, that gets exciting, definitely.
Yeah, and speak of Venture Class 8, congratulations on your next class. You know, it's kind of weird, you know, thinking through, there's been 8 different cohorts so far, and all of the different folks that have come through it. I mean, you take one of the first, Jan Bednar, you know, from Shipmunk and seeing, you know, the fact that he's got operations everywhere now. I was really happy to see a fellow I know, Matt Meadows, who came to some of the first Palm Beach Tech stuff we've ever done, and you know, seeing his involvement over the years. But I imagine there's a lot of joy in just going into announcing the class, and you know, you've obviously had to pivot a lot to this year because of our circumstances with COVID. But you know, with that, what are you looking forward to most in this class? I mean, I know some of the things you're having to do are probably a little bit different, but is there you know, a few companies that have really excited you? Is there, you know, is a certain thing you're planning on doing that might be new that you haven't done before that's really kind of getting you excited with this group?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad you asked that. I've literally had to think through, and you talk about serendipity. You know, we meet companies and entrepreneurs throughout the year and encourage them to apply and hope they apply, and many do, some don't. But what's been great is, I mentioned before, I think the referral streams, getting them from Broward College's phenomenally strong program, getting them from 1909 applicants, and you know, folks that, you know, they'll drop your name, Joe, and say, "Hey, Joe said I should apply." So that's really nice. That means that you know, everyone is helping to bring a significant amount of quality forward. We have the highest number of applications we've ever had, and the best quality we've ever had. Such the extent, I actually have to make some phone calls later today to tell a couple, probably about 8 entrepreneurs, "I'm so sorry we didn't have a slot this class. It wasn't because, you know, of quality. You met the benchmark. So we'd like you to stay involved with other programs in the community and stay involved with some of the other programs at FAUs, just so we can remain engaged and, you know, have a front row seat for you in next year's class." That's really encouraging and exciting. It's also the hard part of the job, because it's hard making those decisions. We did have an expert judges panel of us. We had our mentors pre-score, but they're not allowed to judge. But our judges, we had 17 judges from industry and corporate and donors and professors and support professionals. So there's a good, robust mix. There was pretty good consensus. The scores, we scored them 3 different ways. They had the judges fill out 3 different scorecards. So what emerged, I feel really good about. And what's neat, a couple things. We have 2 therapeutics companies, which aligns nicely with some, you know, when we can align what entrepreneurs are bringing forward with FAU strengths and areas of emphasis and research excellence, that's when we can actually take it one level further. So therapeutics companies, we're going to be able to do a lot for them up in Jupiter with the Jupiter Life Science Initiative and Scripps and Max Planck. And we now have access to 8 wet labs that we're going to help co-manage so that we can actually help biotech therapeutic companies get access to wet lab space and build hopefully the next billion-dollar molecule. We have 3 marine companies this time. That's a big, big interest area for me personally. And certainly FAU has one of the 10 strongest programs globally in marine engineering, ocean engineering, marine renewable energy, anything related to ocean for obvious reasons, but it goes way back to the 60s. But we've had trouble getting viable projects in the door at Tech Runway. But we have 3 this class, so that's exciting. I'm hoping that a cluster starts to emerge there along with some other initiatives.
Yeah. There was one company, we all know Joe Cardenas from Aquaco, marine company. I remember him. He had this crazy idea when I met him as a banker to start a fish farm. And I'm like, okay. And I just received last week, I received my first order of fish from his fish farm. He went through FAU Tech Runway a couple of years ago. And there was just that odd moment of like, man, I'm proud of you. That's awesome. You had a dream, you succeeded. And then, you know, Tech Runway helped him out with that. And, you know, all things came to fruition for him. So I that's special. You know, it's a little different than I think most of the tech ideas that I think are most kind of accompanied with the term startup. But, you know, every once in a while you see something, you know, come to fruition that's a little bit more there and tangible. And that was pretty neat to see.
Yeah. Joe is such a class act. You know, he'll probably never let on what a struggle. He had so many obstacles to overcome, and he made it look easy with grace and class. And, you know, even when he was let down or disappointed, he never got bitter. And he look at him. I mean, wow. I agree with you, Joe. It just kind of like, it's great when the good guys win.
Yeah.
You know? I'd like to say too, just real quick. If you're involved in entrepreneurial support or professional services, or if you're an investor or if you're a coach, whatever, I believe going with your gut's really important. There are 1,000 reasons not to support a project like Aquaco. It's too long. It's not the right species. Joe doesn't have the industry background. But a number of us said, you know, this is the right thing. It makes so much sense. And Joe's going to get it done or die trying. And we need to build this. We need to throw this stone on the, you know, on the path. And hopefully it takes root and others can build from it. So I suspect, at least in the investor community, groupthink tends to hold sway far much more frequently than it really should. And so, again, whatever role you might have in our ecosystem or an entrepreneur or supporting them, I really think if you have strong conviction about a particular project or a particular technology, just power through it, stay with it, nurture it, overcome. You'll get a lot of grief. I know I did. A lot of people didn't want Aquaco in Tech Runway. Thank God, you know, a group of us felt very strongly that this is a great idea and this is a great entrepreneur. We don't care how early it is. We're going to support it.
Going to investors for a minute, I know most of your background in the last couple decades is from an investor standpoint. I remember, Kim Graham, of course, who used to run Tech Runway. She was, saying, "Hey, I'm leaving, but don't worry, we got some dynamo who's going to come in and take over." And I'm like, "Who's that? I can't tell you, but he's great." And the connection there. I think I found out through context clues pretty quickly it was you, but I think what did that was you were one of the early pioneers in South Florida and getting angel investing and just venture capital, the idea of investing in South Florida kind of off the ground. Between New World Angels and now the Angel Investor Network, what is it like as an investor, and what have you learned from those experiences through those respective efforts?
Angel investing is part hobby, part addiction, part annoying habit, partly to challenge yourself and your colleagues if you co-invest, which is, I think, the best way to do it, as a collaborative effort with other investors in a group, an organized group. It's all those things, it's not easy and it is time consuming, but again, it does become a passion and an addiction because, you're making bets, you're making technology bets, you're betting on probability of commercialization. Will the marketing plan and the distribution plan and the pricing all come together? And one nice thing, if you buy a mutual fund or a listed stock or an ETF, your money is probably going to the last owner of that security. It's not going to actually help the company. I mean, you're probably helping the company by raising the price, hopefully. But you're not really moving the needle. But when you're an angel investor, the use of proceeds, it's going to build the product or to pay the entrepreneur or to, pay for the patent filing. Although ultimately you're trying to make money, you are also directly contributing to economic development. And even if the company's not successful, it does build. The entrepreneur, frequently we back entrepreneurs, not companies. The entrepreneur will learn from that, and everyone hired in the company learns. And sometimes companies get repurposed, or the IP may be repurposed in the next generation of the company. So there's that aspect to it, and it's just fun. It's a challenge. Sometimes you've got to amass money. You got 60 eyes on the project, and you're trying to figure out what's the consensus opinion and who can help and how do we help without, being counterproductive to the entrepreneur and all that. But it's a really interesting, robust, non-scientific, mostly art, partly science activity.
That is a really good way of describing it. Angel investing, mostly art, partly science. And I have to assume it puts you on the forefront of a lot of fun conversations, with a lot of really unique founders too.
It's really fun too if you stay with it. There's plenty of times where particularly in South Florida, where, you know, are in Florida, because most of my investing has been only Florida-based with colleagues. There have been times when you want to throw the towel in. You're like, you know, I've not seen the returns. I've been doing this a long time. This has taken a lot of my time. But thank God, you know, now we've had four exits. We have a couple other companies that are looking really strong. And that's just so rewarding. I just feel so great to see entrepreneurs succeed and to get some payback for the time you've put in and the risk you've taken, and to inspire other angels and other entrepreneurs too. That's all important work. And it's, you know, but it's a labor of love that takes a lot of time and a lot of money.
So, well, pull this back for a second with me. We only have, I think, five more minutes to go here. When you go home at the end of the day, how would your family describe what you do? If I had to ask them, what does Reese do, or what does Dad do for work? You know, how would they describe your work? And as crazy a question that might be to them.
I don't think they know. I don't think they know what I do. they always just like something kind of like Shark Tank. That's what they, you know. But, you know, my particular job isn't, I mean, the funnest job in the world is probably that of being an entrepreneur in residence, right? Or being like Sarah Lucas running an angel group. Those are really fun. I think you get most of the fun. And, you know, I'm partly a fundraiser. I work with our advisory board, which is like trustees. I work with a board of mentors. We have 70 business mentors, and I work with a subset of them, about 9 or so. But that's a big, you know, heavy lift and important work, because these are very sharp, type A, motivated people, and they don't suffer fools gladly. You got to be on your game. You got to be responsive. And part of it is thinking of curriculum and how to partner, how to develop that. Part of it is politics. You know, being in a university, you have to, you have to be relevant. You have to be part of the right groups in making sure that you're supporting the people that need your support and will remember you when you need help, whether it comes to funding or space or other things. And, you know, there's 1,000 other things, building the team. I'm so blessed. I have an amazing team. You know, Jessica and Beverly, and Pinar and Heather, and just wow, you know. I encourage them to just, you know, take their balls respectively and run with it. I'll back them up, and you know, that's a key piece. But there's so many parts to what I do. Gosh, I have to write grants. You know, I know you've been successful in that realm too, but that makes the job fun. It's never boring. But there are times when you wish you could drill a little deeper in one area, and that's hard. And also, we run the True Angel Group, which, by the way, is doing really neat work. We currently have 5 diligence teams active. We closed 3 deals last year, and I think that's going to increasingly be a force to be reckoned with in the funding side. So I encourage folks to apply to that as well, the Tech Runway Investor Network. It's not just Tech Runway companies. It's open to everyone.
One of the things, I mean, you hit on grants. I mean, some of the work that you do, I know it gets tedious. It's probably a good way to put it. I mean, there's always gold at the end of the rainbow, but sometimes it gets a little difficult of a road to get there. Either it be, you know, internally working through the university processes, or, you know, trying to create the infrastructures. And, you know, the one thing I've always noted that is good quality with you, and I don't know if this is a professional, personal quality, but you have really good dad jokes. So I imagine, you know, you're really keeping things light either at the office or at home. And from a leadership capacity, you know, it's important, I think, not to always take ourselves too seriously.
Yeah.
I've always respected you for that, in part because you're funnier than I am in some regard. But
hardly.
So two more things there. What would you say if there is one thing inspires you to do the work that you do?
Joe, that's so unfair. You should email me that question. I have no time to think of a really good answer. That's not, I was ready to tell a dad joke. Damn.
You can go with that one.
Well, I will tell you, what's beautiful about dad jokes is the duality, that you've got something that is not supposed to be what it is. I think of the inherent contradiction, the beautiful contradiction in that. It's not supposed to be funny. And because it's so bad, it is funny. And it's funny on so many levels. It's funny because of the idiot telling it. it's funny because the person expected a response and knows he's not going to get it, but yet he gets the response. So is the joke on the audience. You know, it's just so many layers of brilliance in a dad joke. I just want to say, outside my office, we have Braille lettering on the office signs, you know, and so it occurred to me that I needed to label that with a post-it that says, please do not touch the Braille lettering. I want you to think about that.
Well, in this point, you probably shouldn't be touching anything in the offices. But I mean,
who's going to read that note? Not Braille readers, but then why can't people touch Braille? I don't know. Anyway,
last bit, because we're out of time and I want to hold this up either more, but what is your call to action for folks in the South Florida tech community? Anybody who's listening to this podcast or watching it, what's one thing that they can do for our tech industry and for the startups in our community?
I don't know why this jumps out right now, but I'll just say, it takes so many people with so many skills and so many perspectives to build a robust ecosystem. And some people are great connectors, and some people are great event organizers and people gatherers and storytellers. And that is wonderful, and that's critical. Other people are really good at just eyes down, nose to the grindstone, grinding it out, building awesome companies, or just all I do is advise, or all I do is write patents or whatever. And some people don't know where they fit, or they're not sure what they should be doing. I would just say that it takes both kinds. If you are a nose to the grindstone person, don't beat yourself up. Oh, I should be on Twitter more. Oh, I should be on LinkedIn. I should be doing social. I need to go more events. Well, you know, maybe you do, but we need a lot of workhorses. We need more. There are a lot of entrepreneurs, people who, you know, it's in the zeitgeist. It's on TV every night with Shark Tank. That, you know, everyone thinks entrepreneurship is easy, profitable, fun, sexy. It's not all of those things. All the time. It's actually very hard work, and it's not always profitable. It's not always fun. You're not always successful. So, and many times if people say, what can I do to help? I sometimes just say, build a great company. Try to build a great company. Try to build a team. Try to find an amazing technology. Try to pair with a market need. Try to find who your customer is and why they care, why they're going to buy it, and just build a company. And not everybody is cut out for that, but some people, I think, feel that they should be marketing or connectors or do other, you know, build the ecosystem, when really their biggest gift and their biggest skill is to build a company. And they should, I think, focus is really key, and I think they should take some confidence in that and just go down that path and don't worry that they're not going to every meeting or they're not on every committee. Thought I'd share that. Can I answer? Do I have like 30 seconds?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. You asked me what motivates, drives me. Well, I went to public school K-12 in Broward County, and I'm a fifth generation Floridian. My kids are sixth. And I having lived up north and been in the military and traveled, all over, I recognize Florida as a special place. It has its own unique strengths. I also see what it's not, or at least what it's not yet. And so I think just the ability to write one page or a sentence in a paragraph to help to contribute to make us world class, and we're becoming that so quickly. And a lot of it's because of really amazing people from other parts of the world, other parts of the country that are relocated here and calling it home now. But it's also that a lot of our native sons and daughters are staying here or coming back here. And we're proud of it, and we know we're not Silicon Valley. We know we're not New York or Austin, but we're willing to build it in our own way. And looking for a goal on the horizon that looks different, and we're okay with that. But I think that's what motivates me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm from here too. I'm just first generation myself. My family's all from New Jersey, but you know.
So is my wife.
But building something we can be proud of here, that's what speaks to me. With that, Rhys, thank you so much for joining the podcast today. We'll be sharing this out, of course. But for those listening in, if you want to be a part of Palm Beach Tech or take a look at some of the other things we're doing, go to palmbeachtech.org. There's a get involved button there that you can go fill out a form and be a part more of the organization and some of the events and the programs we're doing. And of course, there's membership. If you want to go online, go to palmbeachtech.org/membership. We'd love to have you as a member too. If you're interested in FAU Tech Runway, you can go find them online at fau.edu/techrunway and find out more about their venture program, the Tech Runway Investor Network, and some of those big events that Reese was mentioning they do throughout the year. And once again, thank you very much to Reese for joining us today. I hope you have a great rest of your day and a great rest of your week, and that the venture cohort keeps on moving along for this year.
Thank you, Joe. This was so much fun. Thank you so much for the opportunity to talk with you and your audience, and I appreciate it, and appreciate all the work you do.
Of course. Appreciate you. Have a good one, Reese.
We'd like to thank our producing sponsor, MediaOps. They're the premier global media platform for technical communities with brands such as DevOps.com, Security Boulevard, Container Journal, and Digital Anarchist. DevOps.com, their primary brand, attracts and engages a thriving online community of technology professionals around the world. It is currently the largest collection of original content relating to DevOps on the web today, featuring up to the minute news, highlighted stories, blogs, and much more.